Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What it do, baby? It's the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. I know you're sitting at home doing nothing, so you might as well listen to ya boy. On today's episode of the podcast, I've got my good friend Christina Hart, also known as DTR Blog, and Johnny Giovatti, both LA-based comedians that are hysterical and immensely underrated. I thought I'd get them both on to have a fun conversation, hopefully keep you entertained for an hour or so. They also have some pretty interesting insight into LA church culture, which is always a fun discussion. So if you've got the time, please give it a listen. I think you'll be edified and also entertained. No sponsors today, so make sure that you just subscribe to the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. Rate, review, all that good stuff on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate when you do that. Our intro track is from my good buddy SJ. It's called In the Light from his new EP called In the Light. If you haven't already, please make sure you follow him on Spotify as well as Instagram at HereIsSJ. Quick note about the episode. We had some audio difficulties, as I always do at the beginning of our conversation. So we're going to jump in kind of halfway through, but still hilarious and a really great discussion. So I think you'll enjoy it. All right, let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Christina and Johnny. All right. Well, that was super special.
That was great.
Everything I ever wanted to offer to this.
This is worth what I paid for it and what I paid y'all for. All right, Johnny. So what have you been up to in your self-isolation station post-actual
COVID? My self-isolation station? I mean, I am for sure. I'm trying to work out, you guys.
And trying
that is not word. A thing I do even a tiny bit. I mean, I think like I was like, if I could have a hypnotist do one thing to me, it would be like make me enjoy physical activity. Like I'll do just about anything on the planet except work out for like a six pack. Like just give it, just like tell or, me I'll you do know, whatever, just anything that doesn't require discipline or like lifting weights or running or exerting myself, and which I think is complicated,
or self-restraint
as I've heard.
Yeah,
have you been tagged in a push-up challenge on Instagram yet?
Yes, I had buddy of mine, and I did that lie and I told him I would do it, and I was just like, here's the deal, push-ups are new for this body. There is not I don't have the muscle memory, I'm not confident enough in how it works. I'm like, this is a new situation, so like putting it on online. Like, and also, I can only do modified push-ups for real. Like, I'm like, I don't trust myself to go like full.
Yeah,
plank
you gotta
on
put
it.
The knees. Yeah, full knees. Yeah, well, knees like, are... No, absolutely not. Like, find something else to do in quarantine.
Yeah, and I'm like on a blanket because my knees are sensitive. Yeah, like, absolutely. Concrete on like skin and bone. Like, that's not real.
That's torture.
Like, that can't happen. So yeah, I've got. Wow. I had someone do a like a sword challenge or something like that. That was like a favorite Bible verse for the.
Oh, like a sword drill like, challenge.
Yeah, and I'm like,
no.
Draw swords.
Like one, present. There's a part of you that's like doesn't want to be like the Romans like 12:1 person. That's like my body's a living sacrifice. But then like, oh, you don't want to be that because it's like still the Bible, but you definitely feel like, am I 14 and is this my first summer camp?
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is you're like, you know, it's just that like I didn't grow up in the church, so like, but I've been in the church for now like 15 years. Like, I can't say I haven't been around, but there's that part of you that's like, I do this, but there's like, I don't see the world in the same way sometimes as like my more like entrapped, like in the culture people around me. So it's like, there's just ways and things that people say about stuff where you're like, I can tell you that that phrase has never gone through my mind. So I'm going to have to like write that down and try to understand what you're saying to me. But
I haven't gotten a sword drill challenge yet. I don't know if I could, I'd have to really reach back in the depths of the memory verse file cabinet to do that one.
My favorite thing is like all the new prophecies coming out.
Oh, sweet mercy.
Like, just like all the prophetic conferences and the prophetic instances and the prophetic Twitters and Lysol. I'm a fan of like prophetic stuff. Like, right. Like I was raised very charismatic. Like, so, but everyone that was like, it's going to end in Passover. I was like that. I kept getting DMs and it was like, a prophet or the prophetic people are saying that this is going to end in Passover.
It's
and
very
I was like,
specific.
Who are these prophetic people? Yeah. They ain't coming out on Instagram publicly saying it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. They're just what?
They sure didn't buy
me
up a bunch of N95 masks. That's my deal. It's like, right. Oh, you're still right. Standing in line for toiletries at this point.
Yeah. And I'm down for it. Like, I'm down for it. Like, by all means, like, God. End it, fine. But also at the same time, it's like people, like, it's also science a little bit too. So you've got that.
It's a lot of it.
We're like, you know, people are getting these words and they're like, it's not going to be a big deal. It's already a thing. Like, the ball is rolling. You can't just like stop it. Like, it's just like, there's enough. Like, I saw Outbreak. Like, this works a certain way. Dustin Hoffman told me one thing is this works a certain way. You know, so it's kind of like, and the other part of it is like, nobody, like, these guys are, a lot of these people aren't putting a whole lot of like anything trackable, right? Like, you could say, like, okay, so here's the word. Like, I guess I could, all right, what's the thing you think you're hearing? Most of these people aren't saying anything trackable. So they're just kind of throwing stuff out there that you can't really challenge, you can't really question, you can't really ask them to prove it. And two, it's like, you know what? Nobody needed, nobody asked you to throw your hat in the ring. Like, I don't know if I needed a prophetic something from someone about this. Like, I was really fine with like staying inside, getting a mask, not touching my grandma.
Or just like stand in hope. The Lord has a good plan. Like, but it's like, they are, you know, didn't we hear like no mates, dates, or babies? Wasn't that the rule? And everyone's like, oh yeah, God said on Passover, Corona. Yeah. And I'm like, but wait,
you know,
stay inside too while you're saying that.
I'm just saying, I just really enjoy the marketing strategy that some of these prophets are using to like hit the ground running post, like post quarantine. Like these next conferences at the old, like, you know, the most afraid glory junkie conferences that are going to be out there that are going to like go up first. It's like those lineups are going to be like, well, if you will remember, I prophesied this ambiguous thing at this time with no real guarantee. Right. And look where we are. Look
and how that's my biggest deal. Is like somebody commented on one of my I tweeted about, you know, sure, we're a lot of prophetic conferences. Y'all could have given us a heads up. Somebody commented yesterday. It's like, actually, there were some prophets that that did prophesy this and you just don't follow them. I said, please send me the receipts. And he gave me some names.
Sylvia from the Montel show.
And I looked at the names that they gave me, and all the posts about the virus were like, remember when I prophesied this in September, that there was going to be a wave of sickness coming and that the whole world was going to have revival or something. Like, dude, do you realize how easy it is to just cast a wide net and say, there's going to be problems coming? Oh my gosh.
Or the best part is when they're like, there will be a vaccine. I'm like, it's a virus. That's how the science works. Like, it's literally how it works. It's literally how you come up with vaccines.
No, I know. I think that's the thing. It's like, no, but like, there are things that are common knowledge. There are things that are scientific. Like, your big prophecy is actually just pulling things from these like sources and putting them where I do believe, like, I, you know, in like prophetic stuff, but I'm like, y'all, there is a big marketing side behind it where it's like, also buy my 7 books on how to be prophetic.
It would be fair enough,
right?
Yeah.
But I made a joke. I was like, all right, like, well, I was prophetic because in October of last year, I made a joke saying, if you tell Beth Morcombe, she's just going to go home and preach to her 1 million followers. So I was like, oh, you tell Beth Moore to go home, we're all going to go home. Like, you know, before I was like, that makes me prophetic now. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's the one thing. It's like, it would mean, it's so hard. It, like, being real, it is hard for me not to be cynical about people self-proclaiming to be prophetic, because that is like such a huge thing to claim, to say that I have more of a connection with God, that he's going to give me a specific word that only I can share with you about this very vague thing. Also, I just so happen to be financially dependent on me being a prophet.
Right.
And so, like, unless he was like going to the president and said, hey, there's literally a virus coming that's going to destroy the economy, you need to order a bunch of these masks. Like, maybe that's being way too cynical, but to say, yeah, there's a sickness coming.
Well, I think, like, everyone, like, okay, the New Testament, if we get a little theological, the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, everyone has the Holy Spirit. It's a counselor to everyone. Pursue prophecy, that's everyone, right? So it's like you and your little dungeness, and your dinky little, like, garage can hear God. And can hear a word from the Lord about your situation, right? So the thing is I think that it's like the church loves to find people to elevate on a pedestal higher. So it's like, now we're all at home, we can't even go to church. And it's like, oh, let's elevate these voices and say they are hearing God about something that is superior to the small little people who also hear God. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a balance.
Well, and I'm around a ton of like prophetic people, and like a lot of people who are like, you know, in a small corner of the world, like significant to them, right? And so there's that thing where it's like, I've been around some people where like, I believe it 100%, you know what I mean? I think what gets lost in the whole rush of, especially, it's that whole thing, and I think this even goes to like, even what like preachers, the conversation Preacher Sneakers has brought up, is even the idea that like when you start to monetize something and you start to make real good money off of it, you know, when you start to like get some fame off of it, when you get all these residual things, like, there's people with like, you know, billionaires in their back pockets. And on the one hand, it's like, I appreciate that, like, they value those people. But on the other hand, it's like, you get around a rich person, a lot of people will sacrifice a lot of integrity for the sake of like being close to that money pot. You know what I mean? I've seen friends work with super wealthy people here in LA, and like, their lives are struggled by before, then they start to work and they get in this like assistant role with a super wealthy person, their lives are exponentially better. It's really hard to walk away from those kinds of things, and like when it's really padded. So I feel like for a lot of these guys, you know, the real challenge is then like that they really maintain like kind of their objectivity in it, you know what I mean? But I also feel like you kind of have to keep those circles tight, like, you know, you trust who you trust, you don't, you can't really just like, a lot of these guys, I think what happens too is they want to be the number one. They want to be the guy that has the broadest, the biggest, the most relevant, the most significant. And that's like a really, that's a hefty goal to try and pursue when like you got 7 billion people on the planet and you're not going to have a reach that's all 7 billion. Yeah. So like, I remember even post-election, people were being like, oh, you know, I was praying once and I got the Trump card in my vision. And you're like, great.
Oh, right, fine. Right.
Let's say you did. But like, what does that do? Now what you haven't done is gone to ask any additional info on how you can help people understand. So you got a whole bunch of people that are like, I don't like him at all. And I'm really uncomfortable with him for the following reasons. What am I supposed to do with it? And all these leaders are like, you know what? You're on your own. You're probably against God.
Yeah,
but you're on
your own. Yeah.
You got to test, I know, really test that stuff. Yeah. Like,
and Jesus.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I can't hear. No, I was just going to say, and Jesus just like, man, if it was like, what would Jesus be doing in this moment? Like, I know that it's so like 90s to be like, what would Jesus do? But like, I was thinking how Jesus was in the wilderness, no one's around. And then all of a sudden after that, after the wilderness is done, it's like a report went out about him. Like, that's what the Bible says, report. And it's like, he wasn't with all these people trying to like, he wasn't trying to self-promote. You know what I mean? Like, it's this line, man, that's hard. It is hard. Like, when you especially start getting the attention, you're like, I like this. And I can impact things.
Once you start with that attention, you got a lot of these guys that are, you know, I feel like I want to always stay open-minded to it because I'm like, why not? There's some things I've experienced in that space that I can never take away and I can never deny and I can never ignore.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, you're like, you guys are still like, there's still a ministry component to it. There's something that's very pastoral that should color a chunk of what you do. And most of y'all are just trying to act like gurus and you're not, you know what I mean? You're not my guru. You're not creating something. And you don't fight against the cult of personality that like buys your multimillion dollar houses or buys your multiple properties or whatever, which is fine. Like excel. I have no problem with like people excelling, you know what I mean? But it's the things that when you have all of the opportunity in the world, it's the intentional things that you do to protect people from themselves and to like just do it right. That's on them exclusively. And that's between them and God. And unfortunately, what you see a lot of times, you see people like messing that part of them up, like personally and from far away until it becomes very public and it kind of undoes everything that they do. And that's kind of on them. And unfortunately, they're the ones that can manage that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to compartmentalize that because like, I really think that most start out in that business, quote unquote, ministry to do a lot of good for the world. And of course, like if you're, if you have enough people saying, gosh, you were such a good speaker. Gosh, you're such a good leader. Of course, you're going to like hearing that and feeling that. And then your congregation grows and your salary grows and your book sales grow. I mean, I don't blame them. I also am surprised that they're shocked that people are questioning the whole means to that end. Like my deal is like, I just wonder if this is the best possible means to the end of spreading the gospel through the world. Maybe, but a lot of people just aren't even willing to say, hey, is this the best way to do this? Even though it's happening, even though these churches are growing huge, and these guys are becoming so, have so much celebrity across the world. Is that the proper, correct way to do ministry? I don't know.
Well, most of that isn't even evangelistic though. At this, you know, like the money to be made in Christian media is at the hands of other Christians. You know what I mean? So you have a thing where like the reality, what girds up really successful Christians is not their evangelistic efforts. They're like their justice efforts. It's not their service. More often than not, it's like, it's the sensationalism that other Christians really buy into. And I think like, so, and that's just a fine line. Like I really respect all the prophetic voices out there that are like, honestly, I have nothing. I have no insights, but take advantage of these things. Like it's no coincidence
that you're spending
more time with
That's
or I've had friends in like.
My question is about, I don't know a ton about prophetic people, but how do you get to the point where you're okay calling yourself prophetic? Like how many, like what is the process by having so many visions of the future that now you say, you know what, I am prophetic?
Well, I mean, I think if you're talking in that space, I mean, the idea would be like everybody is to a certain extent, that anyone who has like a prayer life or whatever would have an opportunity to like connect with and hear God and sense him and perceive him and kind of understand things. And so now I've known some people in that space where, you know, they had like very significant, like, extra sensory, like what supernatural experiences that like marked them to a point where it almost felt like a, like, you know, they would testify for themselves that, like, they had the significant moment that, like, kind of led them to that point where they, you know. And so a lot of those guys would say they felt that. But then the thing that's hard in that world too is, like, it doesn't always account for different tradition and different backgrounds and different, like, cultures that, like, work around it. Like, some places people just self-define, you know, based on, like, the major spiritual gifts or the major offices in the church or the fivefold ministry or whatever. So sometimes it's like pick and choose. Like, I had somebody in an angry email once being like, I'm a prophet, you can't deny me. And I literally responded, I'm like, there's not a single person on the planet that would call you a prophet. I'm going to tell you that right now. But, like,
why were they emailing you?
The new thing I saw, like, it was like a women's conference or women's Zoom conference. And the new thing is to call yourself a revivalist. And my friend Sammy and I were joking. We're like, how confident, quote unquote, do you got to be to call yourself a revivalist? And, like, what does that even mean? And what are you trying to, like, tell the world? Like, we love to put labels on things rather than like communicating, hey, like, oh, I love, like, I just love the whole concept behind prophecy and prophetic voices. And I love trying to, like, pursue that. And that's my interest, rather than labeling, like, I'm prophetic and I am this and I'm that, because you sound like a jerk. Like, you just, because you're saying, like, I'm prophetic, so you're not, or the super prophetic person told me this, or, oh, I got a message from this. It just sounds so jerky. And you know what I mean? Like, everyone else.
You can tell from a mile away too, because I think a lot of times, like, a lot of these people that are, like, operating it as, like, an itinerant thing or, like, a very public thing, they've been endorsed, you know, and usually the power dynamics of a certain corner of it. So if you're talking about, like, a Bethel, IHOP, charismatic corner of the church that's largely, like, on its own island, is less informed by other streams of the church or other cultures, because, like, you don't, you know, and it's also very white, so it doesn't take into account, like, voices in, like, Black Southern circles or, like, in, like, different, like, there's so many different, like, corners and networks of the church that, like, these voices are relevant in that we'll never hear about because they're relevant regionally, you know. But a lot of these guys have someone high-fiving it, and then it kind of goes from there. But the hard part is most of these guys, or a lot of these men and women, if you use it as a non sequitur, like, you can't deny me, you can't resist me, you can't, like, question anything I say because of who I am or because of my place and because of my power dynamic, like, that's a red flag for me. And I, you know, and I was honestly, like, in the prophetic, as time and time goes on, I love and I really respect and I believe in a lot of some of the voices of the people that I'm connected with in deep ways. But I sometimes value, like, local church and the like perceivers and the thinkers and the prayer intercessory people that are unique to the local space, because sometimes it's like that's the safest, like, if you know they keep the people in front of them in mind. And I think when you get the too much momentum on it, you start to lose focus of, like, who's in front of you, you know.
It's kind of like the attention thing. Like, the people I know who like will pray and they'll be like, oh, like, I had someone, I went to a church and they were like, I just keep hearing car payment for you. And I was like, this hadn't happened for me in a long time, and that I was in the middle of trying to get a car and I was really stressed. And she was like, you'll know the Lord with, like, a specific car payment. Long story short, like, I ended up getting this car, but, like, every time I pay that, I do think of God. And, like, I do think, and that girl, like, no one knows who she is. She's just, but she, you know, I don't know. It's like a gift, like, to give to someone if you're actually, like, really loving someone well, and you really want to do that, and you, like, take that risk, that's a beautiful thing. To, like, go and be like, I'm a prophet, you can't say stuff to me, is
kind
of completely opposite of the point.
So you, so your Escalade car payment makes you think of God every single time.
Praise.
So she had a word for you to go lease an Escalade, and he anointed
my
that.
Hyundai. What up?
Okay. All right.
Listen, I'm going to get a Range Rover and I'm going to say, I am going to.
I'm going to put you on blast.
A photo, and I'm going to be like, listen, this is off my book sales. I don't even care. I wanted this car. Thank you, America.
You're going to need a miracle and a half to afford the maintenance on those dumps. That car, for real. You get a Range Rover and what you're doing is signing up for a relationship with the car spa every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But
they look tight when they're on the road.
That's the thing, is, like, you want to make money. Like, you want to make money, right? So how much shit can I talk and still make money and it'd be fine? No,
Which but is why you're a comedian. It's a joke, guys. Yes. You can say whatever you
well,
want.
Well, I think there's, I think it goes apparently all together. It always goes to the fact that you have to choose ahead of time.
It does.
Who you're going to be if you have that opportunity. Yeah. So if I was, you know, I'm killing it at almost 1,800 followers. Half of them are from high school.
Hey-o.
Killing it.
Yeah.
But my thing would be like, you know, let's say it becomes something happens and you get a windfall of cash. You know what I mean? Let's say what happens and you get this fame and you get people perceiving something of you. Like, you could be broke and famous. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you get influential and, like, you know, I've run in circles too where you're like, you know, you're around a lot of like sexy, cool people. You're around celebrities. You're around this or that.
Like right now.
And you have to, cool. Like right now, I'm like around, like, this is the list I want to be on.
Sexy and cool.
But just excelling. This is my big break. You're watching me peak.
You're welcome.
But I do think there's that thing where like everyone has to decide ahead of time to a certain extent, like, how are they limiting themselves to be this, to stay a strong version of themselves? How, like, you know, for me, I'm like, I'm a bougie person. I'm bougie. I will take all the fancy all day.
You know, on a budget. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bomb
look
on a
at
budget
all the toilet
sure
paper in here. Like, we, you know, like nice things.
Like, just happening. But I think there's that point where, like,
Johnny rolls. I mean, he rolls with cool people.
You know, I mean, but I think, like, you know, you get to a point where, like, if I won $100 million, it could very easily be a problem for me. Like, there's a lot of like money people that would be like, that'd be the dream. But for me, I'm like, there's a point where, like, maybe I set up a trust fund for 10% of that and I utilize the rest of it differently and I limit my lifestyle, because, like, there's a part of me that would be like a real, like,
monster.
I could deteriorate. I could be an asshole of the most epic proportions. Like, the fact I just roll into a place and just disrupt things just because I can. And, you know, that's the thing too, is like the world opens for a pocketbook and for some power. Like, the amount of times that you could be around people and I'm like, look, we have been around each other for a long time, but if I booked a show tomorrow and I suddenly had like an ounce of fame, you look at me a lot different. And I know that about you. You know what I mean? So you have to decide how safe, how responsible, how caring, how much justice and integrity do you have? But you can have integrity and be like, I'm going to be the richest, sloppiest person. And I've decided that ahead of time. So sorry, and I love the Lord. And you know what? I know people like that. And honestly, there's integrity to them being terrible.
Right.
And if there's anything that's solid, it's their terribleness. And that's fine. You know, but
right.
I think for a lot of people, you have to decide.
You also
you have to be honest. You have to tell the truth. You know,
you just have to be honest. Like, the people we love, that's why we love certain reality stars, or we love, because they're like Johnny and I love this lady, Lisa Rinna on Beverly Hills Housewives. Cause she's like, I will do anything for a buck. I will do any commercial, but this is why I am richer than you are. Like, she just
her hustle for
whatever,
25
you know,
years,
like,
has been unreal. Unreal. Just killed. Just, I'm going to show up to all the gigs and I got paid for every job I did.
I guess you can't blame
her. And it's
her.
Like, fair enough. At least she's honest.
Yeah. But you need you need a group of people around you that can check you on some of that though. Like, you really can't deal with fame or money by yourself, because you're most likely going to screw it up. And that's what always been curious to me about some of the mega guys, is that it seems like they're running things a lot by themselves, or they have a circle of people that are in the exact same position as themselves. And so it doesn't seem
I mean, for somebody who, if people have like no friends, or if people have like, they don't have great friendships. They don't have, there comes a point with your fame growing too, where the power dynamic changes, where even like people who used to be peers to some people, they won't treat them like that anymore. So then, like, cause I've had a few instances where like people are kind of being exposed for some significant like moral failure. And I hate the word moral failure. They're just making some shady things, you know, making some weird choices. But ultimately you get to a point too, where it's weird about that world sometimes, is then it becomes about a power dynamic. So they won't even listen to friends. They won't listen to people they used to know. You have to go to find some like other leader that has like more clout just to like break them down. Uh-huh. And then it becomes like, this is a situation that like I should not be in. None of us should be in this. Like, take care of your business. We shouldn't have had to go look for like some power player to be like, yeah, you're making stupid choices. Let me shut down your ministry. Sorry. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, that's a good point. So,
We got blind spots, man. I love my friends. Like, I have the friends that call me out on my stuff, you know? And I think you always have to have friends like that, though. Like, I had a friend in Orange County when I moved down there, and she was like, Christina, you can't keep driving back and forth from LA going church to church. You need to go and pick a church and go to the church. And I was like, okay, fair. Like, fair enough. You know, like,
you're literally shocked.
And then I was like, but in LA, it's like the Fab Five. Like, we go there, we know the big ones, everyone, you know, like, she's like, go and just pick one and stay there. And I'm like, thank you. I actually feel like I needed to hear that. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Commit a little.
Huh. Well, let's change gears a little bit. So Christina kind of sold out a couple months ago by getting in a relationship in some form or fashion.
Oh, no. We're going to talk about
it? I mean, yeah, can we talk about this or can we not talk about this?
We can talk. I mean, I'll just won't answer if I don't want
okay,
to.
Okay, good, good. All right. So how did your follow? So you're known as the person that kind of on dating and makes jokes about the whole process. Yet you ironically took a dive into the whole dating game. How did your followers respond to that? Were they encouraging or were they a little more snarky about it?
They have been along this is weird to say a little bit, but they've been along this journey with me for like 3 years, right? Like, where every day I post something and every day the post comes from a personal story. That's how I come up with the memes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people who have followed now, they know I've been single. They kind of know my path, right? They know like my story. And so for them to see that I was dating someone like more seriously, it brought them a lot of hope and then a huge disappointment when it didn't work out. But I got to see for the first time publicly how they respond. And we were shocked. Like, the guy I was dating and like friend, they was like, whoa, I did not realize people were that invested in my dating life. And now I know for the future, you know, like, but it was sweet. I mean, everyone, but then they're like, what happened? What happened? I'm like, sometimes it just doesn't work out, y'all. Yeah. Like, also, it ended right before quarantine. So lucked out,
dodged.
Man.
Dodged.
You imagine doing that bullet for 6 months?
No, like, I think it worked out for the better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, was there even room for him at your aunt's house?
No, yeah, I mean, it's maxed out right now. My brother, I had to go get him. We're all here.
Yeah, that would have been something
I know.
Special.
But it is interesting learning now, like, dating a little bit publicly. Like, it does put a strain. Like, I did, you know, like, someone else, whether or not they didn't ask to be publicly involved in my life, right? Where that's what I do, and that's what I'm doing even more so now. So that's interesting, I guess.
Is that something you're going to have to disclose, like, moving forward? Is that a lesson learned?
Well, people have followed or know about what?
How did that affect the whole experience of dating somebody? Like, you're so invested in your account and kind of being open about things.
I think to an extent I'm known for being a little more open. And that's how all the jokes are from, like, low-key truth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I wanted to keep that up while protecting the relationship that I'm in. And so I was very upfront from the beginning. I would always ask, like, are you cool with this? Are you not? In knowing, I'm going to post it either way.
I wonder why it didn't work out.
Yeah. But, like, he was really great. And, like, he, like, knew about it and loved it. So it was like, that's awesome. So my, like, ideal relationship is they love what I do. They're all about it, right? Like, and I just get to make fun of them.
Yeah.
Really.
For sure. Well,
we did talk about this last time we interviewed, how they get tired, I think, of you being like, do you think this is funny?
Yeah. And then you getting kind of annoyed that they don't think it's funny. Like, God, this was perfect.
Yeah. You're like, no, don't. Come on. Well, it's funny, even though it's.
I'm sorry it didn't work out. But, you know, you're just so much better than all the dudes out there. So it makes sense that it didn't work out.
No, thanks. Like, he's great. It's all good.
But don't you see Johnny, the value now in
Johnny's my real wingman, man.
It's really where I excel.
Heck yeah. It's really where everyone needs where a really good, everyone needs a really good wingman.
We can go out after this quarantine, man. I need to get a little let loose.
Gosh, when this quarantine ends, what's a word that's more
let's talk about when we all met.
What?
It's gonna be crazy.
It is gonna be
crazy.
Let's
talk about when we all met.
Let's do it. You first.
Let's do it.
Yeah, when did you you were out here interviewing famous people, and then you were like, hey, do you and Johnny want to hang out?
Do you guys want to like tag along, I guess?
You're like, I'm going to Joel McHale's house, but do you want to come hang out before? But
do you want to give us a ride? Yes. Yeah, that is what happened.
And
go ahead.
I can never say no to a happy hour. So that was just like this, I just needed a yeah. I was like, yeah.
We went to like 3 after we left.
And we went to like a very non-happening happy hour. Like it was the one place in LA where there weren't a bunch of beautiful people all at once. It was just like us in the middle of this outdoor mall, right?
Yeah.
Which was a bunch of beautiful people all at once. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, we were the bunch of beautiful people all at once.
I mean, and then we posted the photo covering you because we wanted so badly to post on our feeds with Preachers and Seekers.
She's like, oh my God, make me something. Make my life.
Maybe I'll get 7 followers. Just don't show his face.
Did y'all just feel much clout after that? I'm sure all of your followers were so impressed with how.
One girl, she got like real dark. She goes, you hold so much power knowing who he is. She like DMs me this.
Oh.
And I'm like, this girl's dark.
It's like this heavy.
They only knew how average and white this guy is. There's no power in knowing
who I am. I know. I was like, who hurt you, girl?
What about, I mean, Johnny, that's when I met Johnny too, right? Other than,
because
I saw a video, I think, of Johnny on maybe your
Instagram. We did a live stream. Didn't we do a live together? You, me,
Christina? Oh, yeah. We need to do more of those. This whole
and then
thing.
I think you were commenting. We were talking back and forth with you on the live, I think.
Oh.
We talk about you behind your back.
I'm used to that. But at this point, people are saying it to my face. Yeah. Gosh, you're a POS.
Your comment section is such a dumpster fire. Oh, it is unreal.
Like I have a full-time person moderating those comments, and I cannot control it.
It is so wild. Like,
yeah, keep going. Yeah, keep going.
No, I just wanted to say the last interview with the Justin Bieber thing, you know, like the one sentence, and then there's all the people that are like, donate on Bieber. And I'm like, did you listen to the interview? Did you?
Half the time you're like, what are you even mad about? I'm confused as to where your anger is trying to go.
Right.
Do you know what you want to
say? You're literally making my point for me, jackass.
Right.
like people getting so mad that I'm just basically showing facts and being a little smart A about it is just so telling.
They're
about
gonna
where
be
people's
extra
hearts
mad
are at.
Right now because they're all home and unhappy.
I mean, I got one today where he was basically calling me out for writing a book and saying, this guy wouldn't have a job if it weren't for these Preachers and Sneakers. I was like, well, actually, you're the reason I have a job because y'all get so freaking fired up about this. And for whatever reason, I'm in the middle. It's so funny.
But that's why we all
Snooki wouldn't have written a book if it wasn't for Jersey Shore. And for that, I am thankful.
Exactly. Yeah. Silver lining and everything.
Yeah, that's on my stack of books to finish during this quarantine. I hope the quarantine doesn't end until I finish Snooki's book.
Get there.
Oh, my God.
Immediately.
That's why people love Snooki. She punked all of us. Now she's super rich. We're still at home podcasting in our rooms.
And I don't know if it's just like I like work way harder to like save face. Like if I was challenged by something, I would like make it look like I wasn't challenged by it and just like table that thought for an internal process later. People in the comments are just like, I don't even know why I'm mad, but I'm here we go. And just like, oh gosh, I gotta write it. And also it's like it's been a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
So it's like people are like writing comments like it's the first time. Like they've never seen it.
So pastors can't have nice things.
Or they're like, what is this count? What is this account even about? And it's like, it's pretty self-explanatory.
It's you're like, why? You're also like, I haven't shown off this much since I was like in fourth grade. I'm like, I got it. You got fancy shoes. When I was in middle school, I got Chinese pens that had like strawberries on the side, and I wanted to floss that all day. And I get it. So I get it. If we're talking fourth grade emotions, I'm here for it. Come through, Pastor. Come through.
And that's the thing. It's like, I at least give them props because people come in thinking that they have a fighting chance at winning whatever this proverbial discussion is, because they come in saying something snarky. And I have just all the power because it's my account. Yeah. I have all those people that enjoy the responses that I give. And so even if I don't have a great response, people still are going to elevate what I say to them versus them clearly trying to be a douche. And I like feel bad for them, but it also feels so good to be like, all right, I mean, if you want to do this, I got nothing but time now. So like, let's get after it.
It's a very angry argument for an existential conversation.
As if anyone has an answer to this.
Ideological, very internal conversation that like...
People get like, so mad because they get anchored on the sneakers as if I actually have a problem with the sneakers themselves. Like, it's just so much bigger and people just like, don't do any thought when they come in.
Yeah. It is so funny if you think about that this is all about preachers and their shoes and like this phenomenon of people getting so angry, and it's like on it's literally sides. Shoes it's like shoes.
Like my only problem with Supreme is the actual aesthetic. Are we really trying to wear that exclusively? That's all my question is. That really the aesthetic?
Look, I
we're
fell
going
into
for?
That aesthetic because I had a friend Adam Gill who sent me that right when the account started blowing up, and I was like, all right, I'll just put this here. It looks like Supreme does this, and that was at the kind of peak of it, and so now people recognize it. I've tried to change it a couple times and it hasn't worked out, but the aesthetic doesn't really, I mean, it's like,
well,
the
now you get to
overhype, which is maybe appropriate.
You get to see their shoes in their Insta lives.
I've got a good one today that
in their houses.
What do you think about their houses, Christina?
They're so nice. I want it.
But also it's like a different kind of, like, you could be in LA, you know what I mean? And you're like, people spend $1.5 million on a house and you're like, that's 1500 like, square feet in Los Angeles. Like
with no parking.
It's like, just be lucky you're wherever the nowhere you live, because you couldn't live like that here. So like, that's fine. I mean, I don't know. It's like you, but that's also a bougie thing to say where you're kind of like.
That's like us in LA, we think like that. I'll see your mansion in Dallas and I'll be like, you'd be poor here, whatever. Yeah.
Or like, but
that's my weird flex. I'm like, whatever.
Or somebody I saw,
my answer now, but whatever.
The ministry person I saw online was like talking about like their Porsche, or somebody was pulling up and like, ooh, she got a Porsche. And I was like, yo, that is a 2004 and my Scion is currently worth more than that. And I don't want to throw you on that, but they've redone the car 3 times since you bought that one. So I don't really know what we're bragging about.
Yeah, that's that 03 BMW. That thing was $6,500 and you got a payment on it. That is funny because like status symbols, like at this point can be 10 years old and not worth anything, but people will think that it's a flex.
Well, it also, I think it goes to show sometimes too why maybe the conversation's important too, because you do have a country with massive economic inequality and people who are really struggling and stuff. And so like the thought of like actually any level of wealth, like there are certain people who live lives where it's not so aspirational, or they live lives where it's not so foreign to them. But then you've got a lot of people, and I think especially when you have a large following and it's a ministry based kind of experience, like fancy things feel very unattainable for people who have had a very difficult time financially. And it's generational and it's like race and it's culture and it's like all these intangible things that are systemic and real. And I think the idea that like to act like it just doesn't matter is like, just it matters because people are supposed to matter to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that's the part, is like you could have someone like, I've been around Porsches before, but you can sit there and be unimpressed. But then there's other people that will see it and it feels very like almost surreal. The experience is almost like very like confusing and interesting. And so I think that's part of what's important.
That's the battle because you have to weigh how much of other people's opinions you're going to weigh. So like I put myself in these dudes' shoes. Puns intended, sure, that they're, you know, from the outside in, people are judging them based on their own experience with wealth and finances and stuff. And so
yeah,
I would partly want to be like, dude, your opinions can't control me. That's you. This is me. But also like for them to be surprised that people are upset about the commas around their clothing seems shocking to me. Like you should not be surprised that people think it's ridiculous that you're wearing $1,200 sweater.
Well, like if it was me and like you posted me in my shoes or my outfit, I would just be concerned with if I look hot or not. Like I would just be concerned with how good I look or not. You know what I mean? That would be my, I'd be like, my outfit is not like, like post about me all day. But if it's a bad photo of me, then I'm upset. You know, that's how girls think. You got all these men that you're posting, like, and they care so much. But if it was women, it would be a whole different thing. You know,
yeah, people do like it. It's more heated when I post about women. The few times I posted out women, there's a ton more comments and a ton more mean stuff is said. Like it's a pretty interesting look into people's.
Yeah.
Like people give guys like, a lot more grace than they do. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. If I,
well, cause you're a guy. So then like, they're like, you're a guy. Like you can't say anything about women.
Right. Yeah. And also women's clothing is so confusing and makes no sense to me. Like the sizes, the brands, I have no, like with men, it's shirts and pants. With women, it's.
Yeah. No. The rompers. The secret of women in ministry of us posting is how much Botox, surgery, and stuff we're getting and not saying a word. Let me tell you, it is like tight lipped, but it is, we are all doing it. We just don't say it because we're
the
Christians.
The cosmetic procedures in the church.
That's
you know, but I'm a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills stan, and right. For sure I have no problem with plastic surgery face. No. I can also recognize
but
it from a mile away.
We just don't say it. We're like, it's makeup, and it's like literally all of a sudden you're not like the face looks tight. Like we know what happened. We just don't say anything.
Yeah, that is like, a world
we got
I know.
Fillers,
nothing.
Pastor.
I'm not even touching that because I don't even that. That is a world that I know nothing of and have zero ability to.
Fascinated. What?
It freaks me out.
Yeah.
Because I can tell.
But in LA, everybody does it. It's like, and so then on anyone in any social platform, anyone who is like on there, they're for sure having a doctor come to the house giving them some injections. So eyebrows are like this and they look a little better. That's what the fake eyelashes. I mean, like,
even influencers that are like, love yourselves. Like there was one influencer for the longest time. She was like, love yourself, love your body. Like went a little bit quiet for a few weeks with some back posting. And all of a sudden it's like, those are your boobs. I'm just going to just say it. Like you loved your body until you didn't. And it's like, but at the same time, you're like, I don't hate, like, I have no problem with it. My thing
like a Taylor
with
Swift
all
situation.
Of it more than anything else is just own it. Like own for it. Half the people, it's like, if you want to be like, here's the deal. I sell books. I make way too much money. And so you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend $10,000 on a Supreme bomber jacket because I can. And I just wanted to. Yeah. And most of these people, and I get it, and this is where I always am interested at watching the church from not growing up in it, is like, what is the thing about you that can't just say, like, I'm here for it? You know what I mean? Like, and can just own it. Because it's one thing you can put a theology on it all you want. I don't care about the theology so much. The question was never, like, are you able to? The question is, like, do you know why you're doing it? And can you define why, defend why, and show a little integrity in it? Like, it's not integrity to buy it. It's just not integrity. It's just not integrity if you can't explain what your value system is. And it's like, if you're not, then, like, go talk to somebody. Right. Figure that out. Write it down. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess it's hard to portray that on social media, though. Like, that's we kind of put them in a catch-22 because all we can comment is on what they choose to post, but also they need to clarify some things if they
would be a hero though. If someone came out like, and was like the cool, like real pastor's wife or whatever. I mean, I'm sure it exists, right? I'm just saying like, and was like, yo, we sold a lot of books and like this is my hairstylist, this is my injection guy or whatever. But it did it in a way people would, they would be a hero because they're just saying what we all know is true. And just, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's hard to, for them,
love authenticity. For them to feel relatable. Like, that's the thing.
It just feels like they're on such a different level as far as fame and money that it just, if they were to come down and say something more relatable like that, maybe that would appeal to us three more than maybe.
Well, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, that's the balance, right? I mean, I don't know. And that's one of those parts where you feel like, I don't know if there is a right answer to it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think everybody, I think in culture now with everything being so accessible with social media, like, I can, you know, I can fact check everything you say. I can cross-reference everything you say. I can Google back. I can scroll through your old feed. I can, you know, go through my phone and check things I've screenshotted. So I think everyone wants to be able to relate to somebody. So I think if there's an effort for people to demystify wealth and demystify the judgment and demystify those things,
right,
you know.
But also it basically that, would be like, yeah, like, go, if you want Botox, go get Botox. Like, I was like, oh, I'm 33 this year. Never had Botox, but this is the year I'm going to get it. Like, there's,
you said that?
Like, who get, do you really care? No, you're probably happy that I'm happy with whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, but it makes people be like, if you want it and you can afford it and you like love yourself, like, and you're in your 30, whatever, go and do it. If you're like 19, listen, I waited 14 more years than you did. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you know, it's, well, just, kinda. It's like the, what are you saying to the culture?
Or where your heart is in that. Like, why?
Exactly.
Are you,
I took, sorry. Keep going. Hard. I'm like jumping.
I was just, yeah, like, I guess to me with the Botox thing, it would be where your heart is. Like, if you feel like you are not lovable or feel like you have to look a certain way, that's a different heart issue than saying, like, look, I can't relate to this subject, but I'm just trying to think, like, your heart should matter. And when you buy something like that.
Well, it's like working out even.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like working out. Yeah. Like if I got a trainer, you know, for me, like there's a part where like, you know, I've always been a little thick. You know what I mean? So you get to a point where you're like, am I working out because like XYZ person or XYZ expectations or being in like LA, you're like, you know, am I at it? You know, is it inherently like insecurity driving it? Or is it the fact that like I can do very simple things that'll make me healthier? And I can also eat less nachos. You know what I mean? And, like, can I?
But we all, yeah, but to an extent, we all, like, I'm not going to say I'm securely working out all the time. Sometimes I want to work out because I just want to be skinny in a photo. And that is what is going through my head. And then I have to check, you know, oh, Christina, how are we doing today? Like, but it's not realistic for all of us to think, like, we just want to work out to be, like, healthy, emotional people. Like, yeah. We also, like, want to look, some people, I don't know, you know what I mean? That's like fair. It's your,
yeah. All right, whatever. Let's change gears from Baptists and Botox to comedy, I guess. What, so with the self-isolation station happening right now, what does comedy look like for y'all, and how are you using this time, if at all, to work on Comedy World? Because neither of you are doing comedy full-time but would like to potentially. I mean, we haven't really talked about what y'all do, but Johnny's hysterical. Christina's hysterical. Y'all both have done stand-up in some form or fashion. What does it look like now? I mean, because I'm interested, because I feel like I should be doing more to try to write things and such, but just interested.
So I'm making TikTok videos?
Oh, I've seen those. They've got some real pregnant pauses in those videos.
Yeah, so that's the thing with TikTok. To like any platform, they may stay is on TikTok. That's why they do that. But I get to use comedy in the mental health world that I'm working in now, which is awesome. So I'm like still doing that, which is great. And then still writing. So I'm trying to get more like video content out. So today I finally launched like a YouTube.
Nice.
That's
where the money
is. Yeah. And then I am, if I can figure out how to do all this technology stuff I hate, get this podcast thing going, and then we could just do this all the time.
And just retire.
Yeah.
Immediately.
But mainly just TikTok videos.
Heck yeah.
Just, I just want to be TikTok famous.
I know. That's, I mean, it seems like it's pretty easy to get TikTok famous. Or maybe there's just the scale is so much bigger. Well, no. But I have an account. I haven't posted anything just because it's pointless for me since...
Yeah. I mean, I'm loving watching it. I just have posted nothing.
Yeah.
Johnny would be great at it.
I just feel like it's mind-blowing to me that all these people are just doing the same dances as everyone else. Or like some of these super famous people on TikTok are literally just doing the same dance, six posts in a row. And like...
like Addison. You know, yeah. Like, I watched then, like 27 of her videos. And I was like, she's doing the same thing. Why am I still watching?
I scrolled 14 minutes.
I am addicted
on one
to this same video. Wait, which account?
You know why they're so happy too? They're like doing the same moves and they're smiling about? And so happy. So you're like, in a time of quarantine, chaos, and corona, all I want to watch is these people dancing happy and fake the same thing for 12 videos. It's like for sure an escape from like reality.
Who is the account?
But I also want to know, like, whose account?
Yeah, Christina, did you say you were watching a specific account over and over?
Well, no, there's just certain girls that are like, or guys that are famous for doing dances.
Oh, like
Charlie. I don't do any dances, but I just like, it is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, Johnny, sorry, I interrupted you.
The algorithm is so weird though. I'm on TikTok. I don't use it. I mean, I don't like perform for TikTok, but I want to. I'm going to start trying to do.
You should. Like,
I love attention, so like I'll take it.
Yeah, you do so good. We have to do duets.
Like, we should, like, right now. My algorithm is like very like cops coming home to their wives, doing like that's my type. That's my type. There's more car accidents than I ever thought I like clicked like on. Like that's, I'm like so weird. I don't know why they're there. You know what I mean? Like it's just like I'm really. There's a couple food ones that pop. Up, but I'm like, have fully upped my ramen
Angela
game
Johnson.
Since watching.
Oh yeah. Angela Johnson just got it.
Yeah, she's killing it. I mean, her dances are crazy talented.
You're friends with her, right, Johnny?
Yeah, we've been friends for a little bit.
She
was a dancer before too. She's crazy.
She was
talented.
Like a
Rams cheerleader. Wasn't she like a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader?
Excuse me?
She was an NFL
cheerleader. She a Dallas cheerleader, yeah.
Yeah,
I can't remember which.
What were you saying?
I was supposed to have dinner with them on my trip to LA a few weeks ago before the Rona ruined everything. She's hysterical. I know. All right.
She's fantastic. Absolutely hilarious. They're like two of the most talented people I've ever met. They're just like, and they're brilliant thinkers, and they're like so deeply caring, and like just like it's they're really inspiring in terms of like how they like. I think even the responsibility that they take towards like being creatives and like having platform and having like space. And I love their podcast. Have you guys listened to their podcast?
You've been on their podcast.
Yeah, I listened to you on it.
I mean, I was on it for a while, but I mean, they're brilliant people. Yeah. Their crew is brilliant people. And it's just like, it's, I really like think that I love what they're doing in like just in media right now.
It's an interesting combo of personalities. Cause she was like, you know, she's mainstream comedy, but is also super philanthropic and seems to be a normal person and seems to be kind and isn't like abrasive, but is also killing it in comedy. It's interesting.
Because they're both people that fought for their careers. You know what I mean? I think that's what you learn that really quickly.
And Manuel's got some hair on him.
What?
Manuel has some hair on him. He's got a shag.
I mean... I'm just jealous of anyone with a hairline that goes the first third of their head. I'll just take it. I'm like, I immediately want to be friends.
What about you, Johnny? What are you working on comedy-wise?
I've been doing a lot of writing. I was supposed to do a show up in the Bay Area right before that got canceled week before Rona. Like, it was supposed to be on the 10th. And so at a cool little spot up in like the Bay Area. And so I'm just writing a lot right now. Like I've had a lot of ideas that have been like floating around that I'm trying to like I do this like, you know, a little bit about like my time at jury duty and stuff. And just trying to like flesh it out and create it into some, now that I've been posting a lot of memes, I've been very meme accounty online recently.
Because
it was like helping me get through like, oh, I guess I might not work for 6 months. And I guess we're just going to be like living at with my parents through quarantine. You know what I mean? So like just those kind of things were like I was, the memes have been killer. I feel like the internet has been obnoxious in the best way. Uh-huh. I'm here for it. So I think coming up, I'm just going to take it on. I feel like I want to do my lives. Yeah, I want to do lives like everyone else for the four people that are going to show up, and yeah, then the two people, because the first two people leave because they realize it's not really going to be that interesting. And so,
like all of our lives.
You know, man, like everyone.
I'm like, I don't even want to watch my own.
Dude, live on TV is a different game. I see all the notifications.
And, so, and I'm like, we're all so boring.
I'll do a concert just because I can. Just karaoke's, yeah, on, like, just like pushing the space bar. Like, shit. Spaceboard, hold on. Starting songs on the wrong
note. Just have fun, like, do whatever.
I've done a couple of selfie choirs while I was here. Like, I've had some friends I used to sing in college. We did doing selfie choirs. I did a little pitch thing for like some movie trailer. Like, it was just kind of like some random things like that. But I think I'm gonna try and take it online a little bit more, and just put my face out there. Maybe not just reposting Saint Hoax.
Yeah. That's awesome. This is an awesome opportunity to put some work in on the things that maybe we were putting off.
It's definitely a fun time to think about, like everything is paused. So like when this is done, it's like everyone kind of gets a clean slate. You know what I mean? Like you can either, how you're doing your jobs, how you do your lives. I mean, everyone's priorities get to be the important things get to be the only things right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we're all locked down. We're all staying. So I'm looking at like, what's my game plan for when I can open this back up? Because I was still in the open mic stage of things, like small gigs. And it's like, all right, how much harder am I going to run now that, like, even when I'm sitting here with nothing else going on, I'm like, this is still the thing I'm like most amped on. So like, let's get a game plan for how we like hustle.
So what do you want the end state to be? Yeah, do you want to do stand up big time, or do you want to write for a show or be on a show? Shows?
I think I like stand up because I like the being in front of people. You know what I mean? I like the controlling the audience and creating like an atmosphere. And I think I've got a couple. I haven't written for TV or anything like that. So I've got a couple show ideas that I'm like gonna maybe floss around or like play around with a little bit, flesh out. But I think like between hosting and like comedy, I feel like the personality is just where I'm trying to just like go with it. You know? And
that's awesome.
You're so good at it.
Yeah.
You're like, I like everything that you said. Like, it's true. You find what you like. I didn't like, you realize what you love kind of to do because you have this time and you're doing like what's important and you're thinking about that. And then you're like, what do I like? And you'd start killing time doing things and you're like, oh, I really like this. Like, so what is the plan after this? And I think it's cool to be able to like see those creativities come out.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what the what comes from the surge of activity that comes once the quarantine lifts. It's probably going to be insane. Like, there's probably going to be a bunch of freaking musicians that come out with stuff that nobody's ever heard, and a lot of beautiful actors and actresses that come out of nowhere because people get fed up with just like not doing their quote unquote dreams, and this was the time that they got motivated.
And it's going to be weird. I don't know. Like, the economy, especially in LA, is so paused, is so stopped right now.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see, like, it'll be a bummer, but I know a lot of people have gone home to, like, quarantine families and stuff. But even then, as people, like, lose jobs and gigs and stuff like that, how does that change the dynamic of Los Angeles? You know, like, a recession can really, like,
all send people home. Like, all comics have lost, like, all the jobs, all the entertainment, all the jobs, man. So I also think there's a camaraderie, like where it's like, if we want to succeed at this and you love what you do and I love, like we got to do it together and we want to support each other. It's kind of cool to see everyone really wants to support each other too, because a lot of people lost everything overnight, it seems too.
It sucks. Because it's like so many jobs require people to be next to each other. Like all those entertainment jobs, there's just no way to replicate. Like no one's willing to pay for whatever the equivalent of that is online, like going to a comedy show.
Oh, yeah.
Just not the same.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Especially even like service industry. I mean, like the industries that really like help people survive or kind of creating content, you know what I mean? And like people working, even people working on sets, you know what I mean? Like you've got an entire industry where every production is done, every production is shut down.
Bananas.
You know, so you've got like all the like hundreds of people that are just, you know, so thousands of people. So it's wild. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what comes, what happens on the back end of it, and what kind of energy really like kind of starts on the back end of it.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. we're way over time. Christina, how can people find you on the interwebs?
At the DTR blog on all the things, and yeah,
especially we'll go on from TikTok. There and see.
One day I'll have a book.
Do you own the domain, the DTRblog.com?
What?
Do you own the domain?
Yeah, so website's DTRblog.com, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, whatever, the DTR blog. And yeah, love everyone.
Thanks, Christina. Johnny, same question to you.
I'm at Johnny Giovatti, G-I-O-V-A-T-I, on Instagram
One T.
and Twitter.
Famous name.
The what?
One T.
Famous.
One T. One T. Yeah, we're like sort of like missing the like heavy double consonant Italian situation. But, you know, you'll find a collection of memes and selfies. Which I'm sure will be exciting for everyone.
Fresh content for everyone.
We're going to do Insta then, Lives. We should have TJ, we should have you in it with your black screen.
Yes.
You know how you do that?
So special.
Yes.
People will be so enthused to see another freaking black screen of my voice. All right. Well,
that
Johnny.
That girl will DM and she'll say, you know how much power he has?
So much power knowing who he is. Gosh, nothing could be further from the truth. Right. All right, Johnny, Christina, thanks for joining me. And let's do it again.
Thanks for having us.
I will send your checks here shortly for your speaking fees.
And I'm getting Yeezys.
Yes, finally. All right, well, hey, much
I'm
love.
I'm getting Botox.
Yes, you're 33-year-old Botox. Anyways, much love to you all, and I will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Preachers and Sneakers podcast today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. If you did, please head over to Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Give it a rating. Give it a review. However you felt about it. And I would really appreciate that. I'm so grateful for the time that you spend listening to my content and following me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that. So very grateful for your support, and I will talk to you next time. Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.